You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Music and Conversation Radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. I am your host, Emily Blue, here with co-host Deanne Lax. Thank you for joining us. Whether it's the beginning or end of your day personally, we want you to sit back and relax and enjoy as we inspire and uplift your lives. Here's Bishop William Murphy with Everlasting God, right here on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio. Right here on
Will you put that in this atmosphere? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? Real simple song. I want to teach it to you tonight. The Lord is my light. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my life salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yeah. Whom shall I be afraid? I will wait on you. I will wait on you. You. Yes. I will trust. I will trust in you. Y'all help me. The Lord is my light. Everybody sing. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? You say it. Whom shall I fear? You said
Hi, this is Tara Robinson, the founder of the Black Heart Association, and you're listening to It's a Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio. It's time for our Fresh Start segment. Job 17 and 9 declares, "The righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger." I want to encourage you to get your bounce back. Here are five ways to achieve that. Number one, redefine what failure means to you. Number two, experience disappointment, but don't wallow in it. Number three, detach from outcomes and focus on process. Number four, get some sleep. Number five, go again. Remember, resilience is key to overcoming anything. With persistence, you can overcome any setback. That's our Fresh Start segment. You're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. The number is 563-999-3456. We are so excited to have you tuned in. We hope you are enjoying this month's theme, Healthy, Wealthy You, as we close out the month of January. We Talk Radio is celebrating 1,500 episodes, over 1,500 episodes. Keep tuning in to each of our shows. Here's Help Me Believe by Kirk Franklin, right here on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
I just want to write you a letter. I have to be very honest with you right now. I really know how to say this.
I wanna believe, but I'm having a hard time seeing past what I see right now. I see you right now. I wanna be free, but when I try to fly, I realize I don't know how. No one showed me how. Wish I could see that the best of men will really work out for my good. You said it would. So, if you can hear me, can you give me a sign? 'Cause I don't feel you lie. If you could.
If you choose not to, please
help me believe. Can I believe? Let me
stuck, Lord.
I've been here before, can't take that hurt again.
Help me.
It's hard to believe in what I need. And give you my will, cause you're the better for me. You can look in my eyes and see. I wanna believe, believe. Wake up with you, more in love with you, and finally, you will say my race, it is over and my work is through, Jesus, cause I believed in you.
You're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio.
Self-control matters. As we conclude our topic for the month, Healthy, Wealthy You, I am reminded of the words, in moderation. Do you have something in your life that you struggle with overindulging? I know I do. Food, shopping, it could even be that hustling spirit. Titus 2:11 through 13 says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Let's be mindful of what takes our attention away from things that help us to live godly lives. Remember, self-control matters. That's our Renewed Heart segment.
Good evening, Brand New Day family. We're so excited that you have joined us this evening. We have an amazing guest for you. He is a doctor of physical therapy. He's an entrepreneur. He's an author. The list goes on and on. Let's welcome to the Brand New Day family, Dr. Ivan Hernandez.
Hello, 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 hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I know I just shared with the listening audience a little bit about who you are, but if you could please tell our listening audience your just a little bit about your story.
So I've been practicing for 20 years now. I've been practicing physical therapy for 20 years. I treat primarily within the orthopedic and sports realm, and I treat the continuum. So a lot of times people tend to think that physical therapy is rehabilitating a knee, and while that is primarily the case, the fundamental principles that apply along the exercise continuum into wellness, athletic enhancement, even weight loss are the same principles. So what I do day to day is I work with clients across the continuum of exercise, from remediating a knee injury all the way to improving someone's athletic abilities. I work with weight loss patients. I work in a variety of different settings. I work as a powerlifting coach as well. So I cover the gamut, really, when it comes to managing pain and enhancing someone's athletic abilities. Hello?
Yes. So I have a question. My name is Deanne Lax. I am the co-host of Brand New Day with Emily. And what inspired you to do the work that you do in the wellness industry? I mean, I know we all have so what was your inspiration?
Yeah, so, no, that's a good question. So I like to start off by saying that there are a lot of staggering stats. And I think sometimes when you start off with a stat, it kind of contextualizes the why. When you look at survivability, what are the leading causes of death, and what are the things that compromise survivability, and what are the things that lead to more morbidity, disease? Currently, worldwide, 7 out of 10 non-communicable diseases, 7 out of 10 leading causes of death, I'm sorry, are non-communicable diseases. And what that means is that these are things that are based on lifestyle choices. Are people exercising enough? Are people eating right? Are people sleeping right? And when you look at each of these main categories in terms of the things that we could do to preserve our health and prevent disease and extend our lifespan, we're doing a lot of things wrong. 80% of people in the country right now are getting less than the recommended amount of exercise. So anywhere between 75 and 150 minutes per week. Estimates indicate that 80% of the U.S. population are not getting enough. When you look at sleep, for example, it's not a sexy topic, but it's huge in terms of weight management, in terms of injury prevention, in terms of optimal hormonal health, in terms of managing pain. 70% of the population are getting less than 7 hours of sleep. That's huge. Right now, 70% of the U.S. population are overweight, and a third of those people are morbidly obese. So the numbers are staggering. And so when I look at those numbers, they reflect my why. Why am I so heavily invested in managing pain? Why am I so heavily invested in helping people have a better experience? Because the numbers clearly indicate that we're doing a lot of things wrong. When you look at pain, for example, that's another thing that I'm invested in terms of applying my time and my efforts into helping people. 100 million people in the United States, right? So essentially, 1 out of 3 people would report some type of persistent or chronic pain, which is qualified as having pain for more than 3 months. So this is my why. This is why I'm so adamant about what I do. I'm very passionate about helping people because it's a big problem. Yes, we're living longer, but the quality of life that we're having is compromised because of all of these preventable, non-communicable diseases. And being a country with many resources, you would think we would do better, but we're not. And this is why I'm so passionate about what I do.
It's definitely difficult to not only watch our parents struggle with illnesses as we get older. It's difficult for us to endure, like to be told, especially at this time where we're limited in our options for, you know, going to the gym and things like that. Like, we're dealing with our own health issues, trying to just make it through this coronavirus and trying to deal with being in the house 85 to 90% of the time. And if we have kids, trying to deal with those stresses. And I think what you do is commendable, because right now, I mean, typically like a person, even like me, my health issues, I've never really had a lot of health issues. But since we've been going through what we've been going through, things have been popping up. So I'm like, now you're finding more and more people dealing with symptoms.
It's very interesting. That is not unusual. And, you know, the term that's being used within the scientific and medical communities is called, it's called allostatic load. And essentially what that is chronic and perpetual stress. And what it, of any kind, and when we have chronic and perpetual stress, it starts to alter our blood chemistry. It starts to alter our physiology. And as a consequence, it exposes us or puts us at risk for a number of maladies. So, you know, not only will it affect, you know, our blood pressure, it'll affect our ability to sleep, but it's a precursor to anxiety and depression. And when you look at a lot of disease, you know, certainly my realm is musculoskeletal disease, but when you look at a lot of diseases and when you look at things that we don't call a disease, we call a syndrome, where it's an unknown etiology, an unknown cause. And we apply that term syndrome in the Western world. What we're learning through research is that a lot of that is your body's way of somaticizing cumulative and perpetual stress. And it does it in a variety of ways. When I wrote my book, Courage to Continue, I detail what happened to me. You know, I live a fairly healthy life. I eat healthily. I thought I did everything right. I thought I was the pillar of health. And it was because of this chronic and perpetual stress that eventually led to me having a heart attack. And that's when I decided to write about it. So a lot of these maladies that are happening, back pain, headaches, fibromyalgia, restless set leg syndrome, irritable bowel syndrome, even autoimmune diseases,
yeah.
Right? All of these things, oftentimes, again, in the Western world, we chalk them up to syndromes, unknown causes. But what we're learning and what research is showing is that it's not unknown. It's when the body is out of whack. So what's the answer? The answer is engaging in self-care. Engaging in self-care, eating well, sleeping well, removing toxicity of all sorts. That includes people. That includes people. So a lot of it is self-care and lowering cortisol levels. I can't emphasize how important that is. So whether it's yoga, Pilates, going for a jog, watching a comedy on TV, we need to lower our cortisol levels because that's what's killing us, among other things.
Amen. And I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah.
Our sleep is, yeah. Thank you. I can end it right now because, like, you just, like, you've given me, you've diagnosed me and you've told me what to do. So, yes. But go ahead, Emily.
You know, I'm late, too, because I went to the doctor recently and, you know, my blood pressure has been off the chart. And I realized with being also being a teacher that I, you know, that anxiety level is a lot higher. So so the stress levels go up. But I also, like you said, with the cortisol, I have to be careful because my mother almost 3 years ago passed away due to pancreatic cancer. So I'm very mindful of, and she had Cushing syndrome. So I need to make sure I keep those cortisol levels where they need to be. So thank you so much for that information. And as you know, we've been talking all month about healthy, wealthy you, and you've stepped into what the question I wanted to ask you. What are some practical ways that we can achieve optimal wellness, not just the physical?
Yeah, so what we're learning, and if I'm gonna answer you, but I want to just give a preface first. What we're learning is that in within the scientific and medical communities is that disease is not linear related to one cause. That model is a reductionist model. We call it a biomedical model. And what we're realizing is that a lot of disease is a manifestation of multiple factors. And so this new model or this re-emerging model is becoming prominent, and it's referred to as a biopsychosocial model. And essentially what it means is that when we have disease, there are a lot of things that we have to take into account. Of course, the tissue or the system, but we also have to take into account the person's psyche, their social network. All of these things collectively influence our health. So when it comes to identifying the pillars of health, we have to take into account not just the physical, but the psychological and the social. And so in my book, Courage to Continue, the five pillars that I talk about are getting good sleep. You know, don't sleep on sleep. You know, a lot of people, we have that culture where sleep is the cousin of death. You know, sleep is for the lazy. Studies show over and over this robust data to indicate that sleep is influenced in pretty much every system in the body. And without getting adequate sleep, those things become compromised. And disease becomes, the risk for disease increases. So don't sleep on sleep. Exercise. Now, when it comes to exercise, people often think going to a gym, right? And definitely that does apply, but you want to think of movement and exercise as kind of two distinct things. So you want to have a dedicated, say, hour of going to the gym or doing something. But you also want to have, you also want to be active throughout the course of the day. So you're non, and there's an acronym, it's called NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And you want that to be up, especially with weight management. So if you go into the gym for an hour, I don't want you to sit for 10 hours and think you're doing justice. You got to get up and you got to get moving. You got to park your car a little farther away. You got to take the stairs. You got to do all these things. That's important. And in addition to that, you know, become out of breath. It's okay to be a little uncomfortable. I think, you know, a lot of, you know, we're ancient bodies in modern times. And what I mean by that is that it's okay to be a little uncomfortable. The modern times has us very comfortable and cozy, and we don't stress our bodies enough to make them resilient. And you got to think of exercise as controlled stress. That stress makes us resilient throughout our body, multiple systems, not just the musculoskeletal system. So sleep, exercise, moving more, stressing less. That's a big thing that I talk about in the book. Stress is big because it somaticizes in a lot of ways. You know, one of my inspirations when I was writing my book was a book by Dr. Robert Saplowski. It's called Why Don't Zebras Get Ulcers? And essentially what he's saying is that, you know, in the wild, animals get stressed when they're the prey or when they're the predator, when life and death is at stake. But humans, because of our ability to ruminate about the past, about we perseverating about what may happen in the future, and our ability to escape the now, our primary source of stress is happening within our head, our imagination. And that creates tremendous turmoil in our bodies. So stressing less, and there are so many ways. There's no single modality that is a panacea. If you like to deep breathe, then deep breathe. If you like yoga, then do yoga. If you like going for a walk or laughing or whatever it is, spending time with a loved one, do those things. Do the things that reduce stress. If you're fortunate to have a partner, a spouse, do those things. Spend time with them. Laugh. All of these things reduce stress. If it's taking a warm bath with candles and listening to jazz music or whatever it is, neo soul, do your thing. That's what I do. And think positively. I know it sounds hokey pokey. I know it does, because when I was writing about it and when I talk about it, it sounds like, oh, think positively. But it's true, because one of the things that I say is that, you know, life inherently will have vicissitudes. We will have challenges and adversities. It's just part and parcel with life. And we have to, if we recognize that, we're more likely, when faced with a challenge, to understand what it is, to contextualize it, say, listen, it's not because I have bad luck, or this is part of life. And so just thinking positive is a strong way, and just contextualizing those negative experiences is a great way of having the ability to overcome them. And so those are the pillars that I talk about in my book, you know, very pragmatic takeaways that people could use in order to improve their bio, their psycho, and their social.
Yeah.
I think I hit all five, right? Eat well, sleep. Oh, and eating well. I didn't mention that. Eating well. So you want to exercise, you want to sleep, you want to stress less, think positive, and you want to eat well. And I'll just quickly talk about eating well. There is no panacea when it comes to diet. You know, when you think of obesity and weight gain, look, we could talk about that alone for an hour, but if I had to truncate it, I'll say that the biggest problem that we have is overconsumption. And one of the reasons why we have overconsumption is because a lot of processed foods pack a lot of calories. So if we kind of stick to whole foods, foods that have four or less ingredients, we're more bound to eat foods that are going to be more filling, more satiating. Mm-hmm. And that is the big thing. So I'm not a zealot of Atkins or keto, a keto diet, but I am a big proponent, especially with weight loss, of increasing protein, because protein does several things. It's satiating, so it fills us up. It makes us feel content. It makes the body work a little harder. So metabolically, the body has to work harder to metabolize protein as opposed to a carbohydrate. And then the third thing, and probably one of the more important things when it comes to weight loss, is that protein preserves muscle mass. There are two signals that help to preserve muscle mass: resistance training and protein. And protein does a really good job doing that. And when we're looking to weight loss, when we're looking to aim for weight loss, which, again, it's, you know, two-thirds of the country should be thinking about weight management, maintaining muscle is very important, because the more muscle mass we keep, the higher our metabolism, the more we'll be able to preserve our metabolism, because metabolism has more to do with body mass than it has to do with composition, muscle versus fat. It has to do with total mass. So if we could keep our total mass by keeping on muscle, we're going to do a better job staying energetic and keeping off or keeping a high metabolism.
And so with that being said,
you said it. What I want to emphasize for the listeners who may have the objective of losing weight or maintaining weight is you have to find a diet that works for you. The person that achieves success with a diet is the person that is going to adhere to the diet. That's probably the most important thing, adherence. So veganism may not work for you, but it may work for the next person. Right. Intermittent fasting may work for that person, but not you. So you have to find the thing that you're going to be able to stick with that's pragmatic for your life, and most likely that's going to work. But, you know, you can't deny eating whole foods, sticking to the perimeter of the supermarket. I always tell my patients that, you know, all the garbage is in the middle aisles, but the whole foods tends to be on the perimeter, stick to the perimeter, and, you know, stay active. Count your steps. That's another thing I forgot to mention. I'm a big proponent of steps.
Yes, I do that every day. I do it every day.
Yes.
But the other question I wanted to ask you is because we want to make sure that we're addressing the men who are listening to us. And, you know, what are some, because, you know, unfortunately, some men, they don't like the doctor. They don't want to know. They want to stay in the dark. What are some things that you can help?
That's such a good question. You know, I started a podcast about, I don't know, 3 months ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And so my fellow co-host and I always have this conversation about, you know, apathy and ignorance are being the sources of bliss, because when you don't know, then you're not going to be stressed out with what you do know. And when it comes to health, that's not the approach, you know, because, you know, forgive me for saying all these adages, but it's so relevant, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Mm-hmm. It's so much easier to go to the doctor and get screened on a regular basis and prevent something or identify something when it's brewing, then get to the point where now you're dealing with disease. A lot of critics or those that are cynical about our current healthcare system would say, we don't have a healthcare system. We have more of a disease care system, because we deal with things after the fact, not from a preventative standpoint. So there's a lot of things. There's cultural things. Men tend to have egos or not want to know. And so we have to have a paradigm shift with the way we see medicine. And we have to have, there's a lot of stigmas. I think a big one, not only are men having this avoidance or apprehension with going to the doctor on a regular basis, but a big one that I see is mental health. There's this stigma, particularly with black and brown populations, we tend to have this stigma that going to the doctor when you're stressed or anxious or have something else is considered being crazy, but it's not. It's actually very normal, very common. It's the crux of my book. It's the crux of that book I mentioned, Why Don't Zebras Get Ulcers? My book being Courage to Continue. So we have to slowly destigmatize these issues, particularly with certain demographics, because it's hurting those people. We have to say it's okay to go to the doctor. It's okay to know. It's okay, you know, it's part of life. It's part of life's journey. But when we deny it, when we stigmatize it, we tend to become fearful, avoidant, apprehensive, and then it gets to a point where it's a bit too little too late, and now we're dealing with a full-blown disease. So a lot of it is conversation, revelation through conversation, talking to people, talking to men, talking to certain demographics, and saying, hey, you got to stay on top of your health. It's important. Don't feel ashamed. If you got to get a colonoscopy, or if you have to get a mental health screen, or if you're a little overweight, or if you have erectile disorder, like, you got to talk to your doctor about these things, because then it can get worse. All these things are signs and symptoms of oftentimes of something brewing.
So, Dr. Ivan, we wanted
to ask you if
you could just tell our listening audience where they can find you and follow you online as well as social media.
Okay, so let's see. On Facebook, I have a page called Dr. Ivan. On Instagram, my tag is Dr. Ivan. On Twitter, I think, yeah, across all platforms, my handle is Dr. Ivan PT. Dr. Ivan PT.
Okay.
So dr.ivanpt. My website is executiveparkpt.com for those that live locally and would like to make an appointment with me. And then I have a, when I wrote my book, I went on a book tour. And so I sell my book, and I also sell a pain cream. I'm very, that's a whole other conversation. I could talk literally hours about pain because it's such a big problem. But I, in efforts to combat the opioid epidemic, I started, I formulated with a chemist a pain balm. It's called Magnificent. And Magnificent is magnesium sulfate, and I have a proprietary blend of botanicals in the balm. And I use it with my patients, and I sell it through my website and also my office. The name of that website is livelongerwellness.com.
Okay.
So I have two websites, livelongerwellness.com and also executiveparkpt.com, which is my office.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank
you so much.
Oh, and what's the podcast name?
Yes.
So the podcast name, I didn't get too creative. It's actually called Courage to Continue, From Test to Testimonials. And my objective with the show really is twofold, is for guests to come on and share their experience with a particular adversity that they dealt with. And what I noticed in writing my own book and sharing my adversity is that it was very cathartic. It was very therapeutic to share my story.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, when other people hear similar stories, they tend to feel not isolated. They start to realize that these things are part of the human experience, that they're not alone. That they're in large company with dealing with adversity. And that's what I try to do in my book, is share all the adversities that I dealt with. And look, I'm still here. I'm alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Dr. Ivan, you are now officially a part of the Brand New Day family. So we thank you for being here. And we would love for you to come back whenever we ask you. So feel free whenever you have a new, book coming out or whatever. If you just might have something you want to share, just hit us up and we will put you on.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Trying to hustle hard, but don't nobody want to talk about God. Trying to get it in, we trying to win, but don't nobody seem to know where to begin. Well, I'ma tell you something, I hope you listening. Life gets better when Jesus is your friend. You can tell him anything, he'll tell you everything. No competition, how you win it every day.
T Real. Call the Lord.
For the Live Smart segment here on Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio. In a time where technology has been our ultimate saving grace for school, work, and so much more, I want to encourage you to hit Do Not Disturb. It is okay to not answer your phone, use your personal or work computer, etc. Take time to rest your eyes and your brain. Read a good book, take a walk, or work out at home. Play a board game. You will be refreshed and rejuvenated when you follow this sage advice. That's our Live Smart segment.
Hi guys, this is Kim Washington, and you're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
You're listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. We are so excited because we have an amazing person that is going to help celebrate our theme for this month, which is Healthy, Wealthy You. Please welcome to the Brand New Day family, Chef Cassandra Armstrong.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Estoy bien. Estoy bien. So let's go ahead and get started. Why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, I'm known as the Healthy Chef here in Dallas, Texas, and one of the things that I promote is heart, smart, and healthy living. Food is our medicine, and medicine is our food. As we go into February with this Heart Month, and as a longtime standing ambassador for American Heart Association, it is important, particularly while we're in this pandemic, that we continue to promote heart, smart, and healthy living through plant-based, you know, food. I'm not going to call it a diet, so I'm going to call it a lifestyle. So that I hope to encourage you to continue this thing for a while. In honor of Sister Cicely Tyson, I was pleased to hear that she said that she had gone vegan and plant-based years ago. So in order to live to be 96, we got to make some changes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. As a matter of fact, my brother is vegan, so I've been slowly transitioning. I've cut dairy, so I'm well on my way.
Awesome. That's a great story. Well, pray because you want to live longer.
Yes.
If you want to live longer and have better quality of health, vegan is the big step. But if we transition with a little plant-based along the way, then we have an opportunity to see how well our body adjusts, how much better we feel, and how we're able to get more out of our day.
Now, I love some veggies. I do love some veggies. I have to get my meat portions in slowly.
Well, reduce your meat portions. Let's start there. Reducing them. Always say this because I'm just a fish and chicken girl. Occasionally I'll eat a little beef or whatever. No, just mostly beef. Because I'm a chef, they tell me, Chef, you got to taste it. So I have to taste these other things. I don't particularly appreciate them, but I taste them. But What I've come to understand is that if I fill my plate up with veggies, that meat is the last thing on the plate and usually the last thing on the plate once I'm done. So if we have maybe one carbohydrate and 2 to 3 vegetables on our plate, I have to tell you, we will begin to adjust.
Yes, I totally agree. Totally. So my question is, what inspired you to become a chef?
What inspired me? Well, I grew up with foodies all around me. My aunt was a home economics teacher in Mahia, Texas, where she taught home economics back in the day, you know, when there was a home economics. My grandmother, for a long time made soup for the Dallas Museum of Art.
Wow.
And so I've just kind of grown up around it. Everybody in my family cooks. I just happen to be the one with the paper, but they remind me that that doesn't mean anything. As we get in the kitchen, I can cook better than you. We have our own little challenges going on. And so everybody in the family can cook. But what I realized is what would separate me from everybody else is having that piece of paper. And so as the second African-American female to go through the culinary program at El Centro, I did my internship at Hyatt Regency. And so I was told I was too pretty, too verbal, too vocal, and I wasn't going to make it. Your Susan Homemaker ideas won't work here, Cassandra. Mm. And so it infuriated me in that I've always been taught that, you know, the sky's the limit. No one is telling you you can't anymore. And so to have someone tell me that I can't or to prevent me from doing some things just kind of put wood on the fire and fueled it a little bit in order to say, hey, I'm going to go get this, and once I get it, you can't take it away from me.
I hear that. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So look, so now I got it, and they can't take it away from me.
At all.
That's right.
And look, everybody needs a little Susie Homemaker every now and then, especially when you're talking about building generations. You know, you need to be able to inspire women who are mothers or wives or, you know, to be able to not only nurture their families with food, be able to teach that so that our generations can continue the tradition and feed their families as well.
Well, here's the deal. During this pandemic, one of the things that I am finding that is most detrimental and beneficial is that we have to strengthen our core. And as people of color, brown people, Hispanic or African American people, we're the ones that the pandemic is hitting the most. And it's because of our underlying issues, diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And these are the underlying issues that we are not able to fight against the pandemic. I mean, against the virus, I should say. So that is one reason why the Daniel fast was so important. The first 21 days, a lot of people took the whole month, which is really great. And then transitioning into plant-based, adding little dairy. Dairy causes inflammation, which causes other problems. It causes lots of mucus. Yes. And so these are things that we want to be aware of. You know, people are asthmatic. People have all kind of breathing problems. They breathe really deep. And that's because of sugar and dairy in our system.
Yes, so true, so true. And so I'm going to ask, especially because since we are in this very vulnerable position now as it pertains to our health due to coronavirus and the stresses that have come from social distancing, what foods would you suggest we get as much as we can of to combat the potential for illness, be it coronavirus or otherwise? And I know we talked about the plant-based and the veggies in our system. I know some people, they have a hard time with those veggies. But what can we do with those veggies or incorporating fruits to our diets to help us combat these illnesses?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We want to strengthen our core with vitamin D. with vitamin C and vitamin A and E, okay? Those are the things that help to fight and keep our immune system intact so that we are able to fight whatever comes up on us. Now, one of the things that I'm understanding is that when the virus comes up on us, we don't feel good. Then we have a little fever. And the fever is just an indicator that our body is going to battle for us. It's saying, okay, what you got? What you coming up against me? So it's fighting. And so in order to keep that immune system strong, we need to eat those things. And we need to make sure that we have those things in our system. And I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to step away from the camera just a minute. I'm going to give you something.
But this is one of the things that has been very
Dr. Jill Wagner, you can't see that very well. Dr. Jill Wagner supplement is, this is immune supplement builder, which is really good, and take that. And you can order this at askdrjill.net with that. But here is the other. Let's take care of that. This is a shot of Airborne.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really important that we take this and keep it. Amazon delivered this yesterday for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me and my family, we take a shot a day, sometimes two or three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this helps to give us a jump start in our immune system. Right at the beginning of the pandemic, I would go out in the world is what I call it. And I would come back and I would feel a certain kind of way.
Yeah.
And so I would take, at the time, I was taking me gummies, Airborne gummies. They don't pay me for this, but I just know it works.
Right.
I would take the gummy, and in about 15 to 20 minutes, I felt better. I've gone out, and when I'm around people, and I come back, and I don't feel 100, I go for this. And within 15, 20 minutes, I feel better. And so I'm an advocate of this. You take these and you know, at least twice a day. And if you are already sick, three times a day. And the best thing about vitamins and supplements is that, particularly vitamin C, is that once you've had or acquire your daily allowance of it, what will happen is the rest will be deposited through your urine. So you don't have to worry about OD'ing on it. But you cannot get enough to support your immune system during this pandemic.
Right. I know the other day my father, he's actually going through some health issues. And we had, and I left the medical facility where he is, and I felt drained. And I went to Sprouts and I got some beet juice because I was like, I need to go to Sprouts and find me something for my immune system because I feel just drained, like, something could be trying to get me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some beet juice and I felt almost better instantly. Like, I was alert. I didn't feel like, okay, if there's scratchiness coming up on me. So, yeah, those little supplements like that, it wasn't the best tasting thing in the world. But, I mean, it helps. And those little things like that, those little jewels, Airborne, I love Airborne. Those things are very helpful.
Let me tell you something. You mentioned beet juice. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I didn't mention this morning on my podcast with Dr. Jill, is beet juice is amazing. And you would be surprised how easy it is to make it at home. And so what I have done is I go get the fresh beets, wash them really good, peel them, water them, and boil them. Just enough water to cover it. And O to the M to the G. You're talking about something good and tasty. I love it as a tea. And
yeah.
So it's soothing. It's earthy. It's buttery.
Yeah.
It's it helps your high blood pressure. It helps to bring your blood pressure down.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. And that's the thing that I suffer with, period. I won't say the most, but period.
Yeah.
But to drink that and to make it is so earthy, it's so soothing. soothing and so warming and so nurturing. Mm-hmm. It's really good. So you don't have to buy it to pay all the money for it. Just go to the store. And then the greens, the top part of the greens are loaded with vitamin A and C. And you'd be surprised how it kickstarts your metabolism. And you feel like you got the, you're about to soar. You're about to run on.
Yeah.
And so that is really, it gives you the natural energy that we need in order to continue to fulfill our day-to-day journey.
Okay, I'm going to go get that right now.
Right.
Yes,
when you
that's really good.
Because when you mentioned about the beet juice, you know, I struggle with that because my grandmother used to make me when I was little. She used to make me eat beets, and I hated them. But now that you have, you know, reminded me of all of the health benefits of beets, I am definitely, because my family does have a history of hypertension, and with this pandemic, I've been struggling with my blood pressure, too. I'm going to make some beet tea.
Yeah, same here.
So, and it's really good. And so what you do is take the beets that are remaining. You just want to cover the beets just enough water, not a lot. Generally, we throw that beet juice away, but that's where the propriety is. But we take those beets, roll them in grapeseed oil with a little salt, pepper, and garlic, and roast them.
Ooh,
roast
yes.
them in the oven. And you're talking about a snack.
I'm excited.
Oh, yes.
That sounds so good.
And it's really great. It's really tasty, too.
Okay,
I'm looking forward to it. So you've written several books, including your most recent one, 21 Days, A New You. What was the inspiration behind the two books that you wrote?
Well, what's interesting is that as an ambassador for American Heart Association, I was a part of their campaign, The Power to End Stroke. Mm-hmm. And with high blood pressure, it was one of the things that I felt like that, and it is, among the, well, now COVID is up in that range of top five deadly diseases. But hypertension is one of them. Heart attack and stroke is another. Heart disease primarily is the number two. So I knew that it was important that I was not the only one that would have blood pressure. So I think that that is very crucial that we understand that food is our medicine and medicine is our food, so that we can heal ourselves. And so thus for 21 days, it takes 21 days to make or break a habit. And so in order to have a better you, and not just at the beginning of the year, but throughout the year, was always taught from my grandmother, the older we are, the less we should weigh, the better our bodies work for us. And I never want to look my age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I never want to look my age, and lifestyle brings it about us. Medicine with its side effects, you know, also pulls on our youth. So it is very important that we consider a lifestyle change and consider it in 21 days so that it becomes 365 days that we are able to live, you know, a better life.
Yeah. And see, one of the things that my father, like I was saying, I was visiting him the other day, one of the things that he's dealing with, he just had what appears to be a stroke. And he has high blood pressure, hypertension, and I think just the stresses of, we had relatives pass away recently that were very close to him. So I think all those stresses caused those underlying issues that brought about the stroke. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we're going to have to try to figure out, because his movement is limited, is not only how to take care of him, but again, that diet. And so I really appreciate what you're saying here, because those are things that, especially as we get older and we get busy, we neglect a lot of how we maintain ourselves and our health and what we eat. You know, all the fried foods, I'm dealing with stuff internally, you know, and that fried food is not good for us, and it's so many things that, you know, we could scrap away from our diet. So, you know, we would love if you're able to, like, leave us with a list like one of your lists that we can incorporate on our website so that our listeners can go and look at it for ourselves. Look at it. Actually, you might have a link already where we can include that on our website so that our listeners can go and find this information and so that we can take away some of those unnecessary items from our diet.
Well, I don't necessarily have a list, mm-hmm. but a list. I don't necessarily have a list because the list is vast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the importance is we can get our protein not just from meat.
Right.
We can get it through potatoes. We can get it through beans and things of that nature. The key is to understand what it's doing in our system and what it does. So my suggestion as a walk away would be this. Let's look at food as what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a veggie
mm-hmm.
or carbohydrate or a protein or sugar or fat. So in doing so, we want, I know this is how I look at it. I can do without those. Excuse me, I can do without those carbs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do bread. Excuse me, I don't do bread. I don't do, I always tell people about fries, french fries. You got to have a fry buddy. Don't eat the fries by yourself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, five fries is what I tell people, and they just freak all out. Don't eat them. Fries because we cannot exercise enough to get those calories out of our system.
Wow.
We exercise maybe an hour if we do that. But those fries are 200 and plus calories.
Mm-hmm.
We would have to work out 2 to 3 hours to get those calories out of our system. And so that's just with the fries. Don't mention the burger. Don't mention the bread. Don't mention, you know, those kind of things. So the key is I don't eat that carb. I can do without that carb. The protein, I can get my protein from other things. If you're going to eat meat, unless it's fish and organic chicken, we want to look at it from the standpoint that less is better. Less is always better so that we can get full. You know, I was surprised today. Emily, you said you had an opportunity to look at the videos, the Zoom video this morning that I made with Dr. Jill. I fed my brother, who is 6'2", almost 6'3",
mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say 175, maybe 200 pounds. I don't remember. A plate of veggies.
Mm-hmm.
And he cleaned the plate. And I said, you want some meat? He said, I don't need it now. And so we have a mindset with the food, but we have to make it tasty.
Yeah.
And so to make it tasty, people have an opportunity to enjoy it more. So my go-to is understand what food is.
Right.
It's either a vegetable, it's either a protein, it's either a carbohydrate, sugar, or fat.
Yes, it is.
Yes, that's good. I have one last question, and my question is, what are some tangible ways that we can eat healthy on a budget? Because I know that's usually the, I won't say excuse, but to me it seems like one. How can we eat healthy on a budget?
Well, here's the deal. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an old school adage that we should remember. You either pay now or you pay later.
Yep.
So to eat healthy is a little bit more coins, but the fact of the matter is we would spend any amount of money to stay off of medicine, or should spend any amount of money to stay off of medicine, to stay out of the doctor's office, and all medicine has side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to make up in our minds that I want to eat to live and not live to eat.
Ooh.
And so what's really important about that is the fact that we may spend a little bit more money, but if it's going to last us a week, is money best spent? And if we stay out of the to-go line,
mm-hmm.
you know, the drive-through, then we're spending our money better.
And if we teach our kids this, the better we will be.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Chef Cassandra, you know I love you. Could you tell our listeners where they can follow you on social media and find you online? Because we want people to take advantage of your Valentine's Day event that's coming up virtually, as well as purchase your book and have you as a caterer.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yes, as far as Valentine's Day is coming up, next Saturday we are offering a virtual cooking class for people to get ready to participate in cooking their own meal for their sweethearts.
Yeah.
So everybody, you know, I want professors to be a chef. But now you can floss like a chef. You can boss like a chef. And I'm going to help you do that. So February 6th is a cooking class that I'm going to go through some things and I'm going to cook for you and share with you how you can do this. Now, actually, Valentine's Saturday, for a fee, you're able to log into a Zoom and we're going to cook the meal 2.5 hours before serve time at 6 o'clock so that this is your opportunity to ask any questions. Should it look like this? Should it taste like this? And how should I present it? So at chefcassandra.com is all the information that you will need in order to find what we're doing, as well as the cookbooks that I have, 21 Days of New You, and Good Food, Good Meat, Praise the Lord, Let's Eat, which was my first book. And so, but basically, guys, I'm here to help. Again, food is our medicine, and medicine is our food, and I want us to live longer, and I want us to live on the other side, to the other side of this pandemic.
Yeah.
I think it's just crucial.
Amen.
You're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio. Brand New Day with Emily Blue right here on We Talk Radio. Again, we want to thank Dr. Ivan Hernandez and Chef Cassandra for joining us. You can hear this interview or these interviews in its entirety on Brand New Day Emily's YouTube channel starting tomorrow. It's time for the Fearless Family segment with Deanne Lax.
One more thing, because I'm also of the Fearless Family segment. When we talk about kids, especially those who are in home doing this virtual learning, and they're at the computer all day long. And some of them are actually in class at the computer all day long to in person, but all day long. And then they have homework all day long, all night long. What do you suggest or recommend? I know you have children yourself. What do you suggest or recommend? How do we keep our kids active? We take walks and bike rides sometimes in our house, but during the week it's almost impossible because we're doing homework.
Yeah.
What do you do to keep your kids active? We took our son out of basketball because that was just too risky. I mean, you know, what do you do?
It's, again, kind of like the diet. There's no panacea. You have to find the thing, right? What's most important with these lifestyle things is adherence. Mm-hmm. And so what is going to allow someone to be adherent to a particular physical activity? The one that the person enjoys.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enjoy going for a walk or going up and down stairs or playing basketball or just shooting around or running sprints or doing some type of class on TV, then do the thing that you enjoy. The thing that you enjoy the most, that you have fun with, the likelihood is that you're going to be most adherent to. If you're not enjoying it, you're not going to stick to it. You know, you may do it for the first 2-3 weeks, and then you're going to fall off. So find what is fun. Find what is enjoyable. Do it as a group. Gamify things.
Hmm.
And what I mean by gamify is make a game out of it. So say everyone in your house has a pedometer,
mm-hmm.
right, with their phone.
Mm-hmm.
See who offer award for whoever gets the most amount of steps in over the course of a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, gamify things so that everyone feels like they're part of a game, like this big, and then reward them at the end of the week. you know, yeah. you could do things like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good ideas. You can do those with adults.
Yeah. Yes. Do that at school with your teachers, yes.
Yeah, you know, throw in $15 per person, and at the end of the week, whoever has the most steps gets the pot or something
like that. I like that. Yeah, because I have to admit, our son, our daughter, they do cheer, basketball, all of that, but now it's like, we don't want to do it. And I have to almost make them.
Another thing is that what I notice, and certainly this is beyond the scope of my expertise, but what I notice just raising two sons,
mm-hmm.
kids are super impressionable. So if
yeah,
you do
true.
Something on a regular basis, they're likely going to be, they're watching you whether you realize
right.
it or not. And they're going to, their tendency is going to be to do it, especially
exactly.
if it looks like you're having fun.
Exactly. That's what I tell my husband. Get out there and shoot around. Yeah, and myself, I join in the virtual ballet. Okay, I'm doing it with you.
There you go.
So, all right, well, thank you. That'll help our parents, definitely.
And then, of course, we have to get Chef Cassandra's input on how to feed our babies.
With regard to our children, you know, some
yeah.
of our kids are very involved in activities. And I know my son, he's 10, he loves a good burger. My daughter, she's 8, she loves mac and cheese. because when I hit 40, I realized that all of that stuff started crumbling down.
That is real.
Yes,
it does. It's something about that 40 that it just goes everything out the window. Look, I call these my grown and sexy glasses. When you get 40, you're grown and sexy.
Right.
You need these, you know. But,
exactly. With the kids,
okay,
start?
So for kids, kids have a very high metabolism.
Yeah.
And that is fine because they're able to use those carbohydrates as fuel to the fire,
yeah.
which is very, very important and very good for them.
Mm-hmm.
But as we become more sedentary, those carbs are not as good for us.
Okay.
Your son can eat a burger right now because he's busy. He's active unless he's, playing those games and he's sedentary. And so everything in moderation. And you have to share with them, this is not necessarily a reward, not necessarily a cheat, but there's a time to enjoy these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not every day or more than once a week.
Yeah.
You know, this is maybe once a month kind of deal. You know, so as parents control what goes on in the house.
Yeah.
Right.
And you control what you shop for. So whatever goes in the cart. And we have to teach our kids, and maybe we'll do a cooking session one day, Emily, on
absolutely
healthy snacks for children.
That'd be awesome.
How they're able to come into the kitchen and make these things, and the kids incorporating them in the kitchen so that they are familiar with it. We're developing their taste buds in addition to allowing them an opportunity to like it. That's half the battle right there.
Yes, it is.
So our healthy, wealthy kids, that's what we're talking about with Fearless Families tonight. And, of course, I cannot let this month or this show go without asking our two guests this evening about raising healthier children. And I'm so excited because we will be using some of their helpful tidbits in our household. I really like to make a game of exercising and going back to our old-fashioned ways of making those fun foods an enjoyable food in moderation. So I ask that you go to our Brand New Day Emily Facebook page and share what you might try for your family. That's our Fearless Family segment.
Yes, thank you, Deanne. This was a great interview and definitely a great added bonus for your Fearless Family segment. You're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue. Right here on We Talk Radio. We are at the end of our show. Remember to tune in to Shine More Radio at 8:30 p.m. tonight and all of our other shows on the wonderful We Talk Radio Network day. Just go to www.wetalkradio.com and check out our brand new website and
follow us on all social media platforms, We Talk Radio. We would love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions and comments at eblue@wetalkradio.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Brand New Day Emily and Rearing Royalty, and keep the conversation going. Tell us how you plan to become a healthy, wealthy you in 2021. Let's recap. Our fresh start was Get Your Bounce Back. Our Renewed Heart segment, Self-Control Matters. Our Live Smart segment was Hit, Do Not Disturb. And our Fearless Family segment was Healthy, Wealthy Kids. Let's pray. God, we thank you, Lord God, that we are prospering and in good health, even as our souls prosper. God, as we close out this month, let us take the lessons and the things that we've learned from this month through this broadcast all throughout the month. And God, let us apply it to our lives. We don't want to just get data. We want to make application with the information that we receive. God, help us to stay focused. Help us to stay in our right minds and do the things that we need to do, because you have so much ahead of us, oh God. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for tuning in to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. Thank you so much. We're getting ready to enter into February, and we have some great things in store for you. But right now, here's Yolanda Adams with Victory.
Talk Radio Network has something for everyone with shows featured every single day of the week, which means you can join us every day and have fun every day. And if you got a business, feel free to join us and advertise your business right here on our platform on WeTalkRadio.com.
You're tuned into We Talk Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in to We Talk Radio Network.